Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. In Israel this hour, at least 13 people have been killed in a bus bombing in central Jerusalem. There are reports that as many as 65 people may have been injured in the latest roadblock to appear after the unveiling of the U.S.-backed roadmap for peace in the region. The explosion follows yesterday's attacks by Israel on Palestinian targets in the Gaza Strip area. Some members of the Senate are preparing to investigate the credibility of intelligence received by the U.S. regarding Iraq's alleged weapons of mass destruction. The chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee says he'll get underway with the review next week. President Bush cited Iraq's possession of banned weaponry as the primary reason for the military action that led to the toppling of dictator Saddam Hussein. While no WMDs have been located since the end of the major combat in the U.S.-led war against Iraq, White House spokesman Ari Fleischer called for continued patience.
We're now in the post-Saddam Hussein era, where we have documents that we never would have had otherwise, where we have access to sites we never would have had otherwise, where we have the ability now to talk to individuals who previously would have been shot if they talked.
President Bush is in Chicago, where he's set to address the Illinois Medical Society on Medicare reform. The president's talk comes on the heels of a compromise by Republicans on prescription drug coverage for seniors. A contingent of U.S. mothers in Washington, D.C. is protesting Republican efforts on child tax credits for low-income families. President Bush recently signed into law tax cuts that remove child tax credits designed for low-income families. Both the House and Senate are working to restore the credits. An arraignment will be held today in Santa Clara, California, for the man accused in the kidnapping and sexual assault of a 9-year-old girl. Enrique Sosa, who originally identified himself as David Cruz, allegedly abducted the child from her house just after she returned from school last Friday. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 55 points, the Nasdaq up 7, and the S&P up 3 points.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Adult conjoined twins say they are excited about their upcoming surgery to separate them at the head, despite the risks involved. The Iranian women will undergo the surgery in Singapore. They are 28 years old. Healthcare costs in the U.S. climbed more slowly in 2002 than the year before, but costs are still growing at three times the rate of inflation. A new study also says health insurance costs climbed 15%, which was the biggest increase in at least 10 years.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
A new poll from Quinnipiac University shows President Bush's approval rating nationwide has dropped 16 points since April. The president's approval rating is at 57% in the latest poll. Mickey Carroll, the director of the University Polling Institute, says the poll also shows that Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman continues to hold a slim lead over other top Democratic presidential contenders.
Now, when Quinnipiac asks Democrats how they would prefer their presidential primary to go, Connecticut's Senator Lieberman, 22, then Representative Gephardt, 17, Senator Kerry, 15.
When Senator Hillary Clinton is thrown in the mix for the presidential election in 2004, she gets support from 40% of Democratic voters, crushing Lieberman, Gephardt, and Kerry. Actress Audrey Hepburn will be honored today when the U.S. Postal Service dedicates a new stamp with the screen legend's likeness. Today will be the first day of issue for the stamp, and it will be available at Los Angeles post offices. It goes on sale nationwide tomorrow. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. The key to success can be hard to find, just like the key to your heart. But I know a car key whose loss can leave you flat out of luck. When I come back, I'll tell you why. Ah, spring, birds, flowers, and that blanket of pollen fuzz on your car. There's got to be a way to protect that shiny paint of your ride. And there is. A car cover made from the standard in car cover fabric, Block It by Kimberly Clark. Research shows that car cover owners are so happy with their car covers, they buy them all over again. So make sure you get the best Block It car cover fabric from Kimberly Clark. Why have you waited so long? Block It by Kimberly Clark. Black cats and Friday the 13th aside, not having this key when you have a flat tire is truly bad luck. It's called a lug nut key, and its purpose is to prevent thieves from stealing custom wheels or expensive wheel covers. But unfortunately, if you misplace it, it also prevents you from changing a flat tire. Consult owner's manual to see if your wheels require a lug nut key, and if so, keep it handy. Otherwise, at flat tire time, you'll be flat out of luck. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Our program today, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network, streaming across terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, coast to coast in America, actually broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North America, Central America, Alaska, from the Arctic to the equator, and streaming live on the internet. Listeners all around the world, this is the Tom Hartman radio program. We're also rebroadcast on radiopower.org on the web if you're listening there rather than on one of our terrestrial affiliates. We're going to do a profile today, this is kind of a new segment called Heroes of Democracy. And we have a guest on. This is an extraordinary young man, Eli Parser, profiles in Hope and Courage. He's working with MoveOn.org. And is the director of their director of member engagement and international campaigns. Eli, welcome to the Tom Hartman program today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm pleased to have you on. I have been just amazed by this organization. A year or so ago, I first. It was more than that, actually. I think it was before the last election, in fact. It was during the impeachment stuff. I first started getting emails, and I've sent in money from time to time, and in fact, sent in some for Paul Wellstone's campaign, even though I'm in Vermont and he was in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
At your request, as it were, and have seen this extraordinary outreach program that MoveOn.org has been doing. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about how it started?
MoveOn basically started, it was the brainchild of Wes Boyd and Joan Blaines, who were two software entrepreneurs in the Bay Area, who were concerned that there was a huge disconnect between the politicians in Washington, who were really gunning for the impeachment of President Clinton, and the American grassroots, who frankly didn't care a whole lot and wanted to see Congress spending its time on the issues that really made a difference to everyday Americans. And so they launched a petition on a website calling on Congress to censure the president and move on. And they sent it to several hundred friends, and within 4 days had over 22,000 responses, and in the next few months gathered almost 500,000 signers to this petition. And that was really the way that it started. After so many people signed up, they asked petition signers to start making phone calls, writing letters to the editor, and quickly became the leading voice on that issue. And after that issue was resolved, you know, after the Congress voted to impeach, they raised millions in pledges to defeat the members of Congress who had abused the nation's trust by spending time on this sort of partisan squabble. And so that led naturally into the 2000 elections. And after that, they started working on a variety of issues, tax cuts, tax policy, education policy, and so on.
Yeah. Eli Pariser, is that correct pronunciation,
mm-hmm.
Eli? Pariser of MoveOn.org. My apologies for, I think I got it wrong the first time there. And is there anything like this on the right? I've seen, you know, we get emails from folks on the right, to the Heritage Foundation, the talking points, you know, for talk show hosts and whatnot, and for, you know, people who are going on to the weekend network news programs and things. And I've seen the website Conservative Alerts, but was this modeled after anything? Has anything on the right come up as a clone of it? What's going on that side?
Well, I think that there are certainly a lot of people who use the Internet and use email as an organizing method. What we've managed to do is to take is to really push that medium further than other groups have pushed it. And so that means convening people in real life to meet with their members of Congress, to hold vigils in the wake of the war, and also, you know, connecting people in other ways. Recently, we sent out an email to our members asking them to interview each other by phone on the issues that they were concerned about, so that we could get a sense of what people were really passionate about. And we provided an online infrastructure to do that. And that, I think, you know, the connecting people up beyond simply signing an email to your senator, your representative, or signing a petition is not something that many groups on the right or the left are doing.
Right. Eli Pariser of MoveOn.org we're speaking with. If you'd like to drop into the chat room that we have running live along with the show, go to TomHartmann.com, click on the link to the radio program, on the link to the chat room from there, and then click on chat. He's one of our heroes of democracy, our feature this week for this show segment. Eli, how did you start with MoveOn.org?
I actually had a very similar experience to Wes and Jones, where I started my own website after September 11th, calling for a response to what happened that was based in the international rule of law, and calling on the president to confirm that he wouldn't use weapons of mass destruction in responding to terrorist acts. And, you know, I happened to be at the right place at the right time. This was just a website that I started in my living room, but I checked my email 2 days later and had several hundred messages and 40,000 signers on the petition. And the BBC called and said, "What's this all about?" And I knew, you know, I was onto something big. Over the next few weeks, over 500,000 people from 192 countries signed on, and I started looking around for an organization that I could partner with, because people wanted to know what's next. And I was just a recent college graduate working out of my living room. I was in over my head, and so I got in touch with MoveOn and became their foreign policy director, essentially.
Right, and the rest is history, as they say. A couple of quick points here. First of all, for our listeners, if you have a question for Eli, or you'd like to just say hi and good on you, congratulations, keep up the good work kind of thing, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Eli Diane in our chat room says, I'm curious about how the last voting poll went, the one about the Democratic candidates. I never did hear how that went. Did MoveOn.org do a voting poll?
We did a straw poll of our members, and we're going to release some of those results today, actually, in an email that we'll send out as we move towards the presidential endorsement process.
Great. If it's going out today, can you tell us what the results were?
Well, the email that we're sending out today notes that Senator Kerry, Governor Dean, and Representative Kucinich were all in the top tier of candidates. We're looking into the statistical, you know, into the statistics now, because we don't want to. We want to make sure that if we release specific numbers, that they really are accurate, and that we know what the margin of error is and that sort of thing. But it's very clear that those three candidates our members decisively prefer over the other candidates.
Right. Diana's wondering, in that order, is that, you know, Kerry, Dean, Kucinich, is that the order in which, and am I mispronouncing Kucinich?
That's how I understand to pronounce it. But I believe the order was Dean, Kucinich, Kerry, actually.
Oh, interesting. That's great. Well, broadcasting, we're broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont here, even though the network is in Detroit and our station affiliates are all over the country. And so I have great respect for Mr. Kerry and Kucinich, and would easily vote for either one of them, but I have a particular affection for Howard Dean. I'm wondering how many members MoveOn.org has right now.
MoveOn has 1.4 million members here in the United States and another 700,000 or so abroad. And members we consider to be anyone who's on our list. It's sort of a different organization model than most. You don't pay to join, but if you appreciate the service that we provide, then you contribute to make it keep happening. And so far, that's allowed us to sustain our staff and our infrastructure.
And people can do that by going to www.moveon.org, right?
That's right.
And signing up and getting the e-alerts and whatnot. And you're involving yourself in campaign finance, energy and environmental issues, impeachment, gun safety, and nuclear disarmament, according to a MoveOn.org fact that I have. Are there other areas that you see yourselves moving into? And would you describe the organization as being on? It's hard not to use the language of the right, but let's say on the far end of the liberal spectrum or the left, or do you think that you're more mainstream? How do you position yourselves, or do you even consider those kinds of things?
Well, I think that, you know, the theory behind MoveOn has always been that there's much greater consensus among the American public on a lot of these issues than the politicians would like to admit, and that,
yes,
you know, for many of these cases there are common sense positions which a lot of people will agree with. A good example of this is our recent work on the FCC, the media consolidation fight, where we brought together, we brought together our members and at the same time the NRA and groups on the far right were mobilizing their members to write exactly the same kinds of letters. You know, often what you see is that people that essentially engaged citizens on either side are pitted against corporate interests that don't really have any stake in a working democracy. And so I think that's what a lot of these fights are about. But when I talk to our members, they're very mainstream, you know, ordinary American folks who just feel like now is the time when they have to get involved in the running of their democracy.
Yeah, or we won't have a democracy any longer.
That's right.
People don't start getting involved. And this is a great tool and a great mechanism or means for citizen involvement. In the minute or so that we have left, we're talking with our hero of democracy this week, Eli Pariser, and his fellows, his men and women who are involved in MoveOn.org. And Eli, how do you define the purpose, and what do you hope to accomplish in the future? And we got about 30 seconds here.
Well, I think MoveOn is ultimately about connecting citizens with Washington, and so who knows what the future holds. I think what we do know is that it certainly holds greater engagement and greater participation, and we're going to work to make that happen.
That's great. Eli, thank you very much for being with us on the program today. I very much appreciate your coming on. And thank you for the great work you all are doing. Please pass our regards along to everybody else there.
Great.
And thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, little boxes, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman radio program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. And a little later on in the program, we're going to get into some of the they the transnational corporation shenanigans that are going on. Yesterday we reported about a Republican in Washington, one of our congressmen who is, I think it was a senator, I'd have to go back, who has been accused of what looks a lot like bribery. Now we have another one, and we'll get to that a little later on in the program. And we're going to have a brief visit from John Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, of course by audio tape, the original John F. Kennedy. And lots of interesting stuff today. It's going to be a very interesting day. We got an email from Chris in Westchester, Ohio, about yesterday's program. And if you'd like to comment, by the way, or send emails, my email address is on virtually every page of the website. It's at tomhartman.com. The website is the email is tom@tomhartman.com. And just include your name and your city so that we can cite it. Chris says, liberals should have moved to create progressive think tanks 20 years ago. The Heritage Foundation, just to show its influence, was responsible for creating the Reagan agenda when President Reagan was elected in 1980. Through the publication of, quote, Mandate for Leadership, end quote, it was a playbill on how to organize the executive branch and how to push the political agenda past the Congress before the Congress knew what hit them. There was even a phrase for this successful push called hitting the ground running, which moved the Reagan-Wright agenda in 1981, which was the president's most successful legislative year, culminating in the major tax reform that has led to making the rich richer and the poor poorer. And Chris in Westchester, Ohio. One of the things that so many people don't remember is that in that first year, 1980, Reagan passed this huge tax cut and threw the country into a recession. And every year after that, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, and 88, he passed tax increases. And there was still a disaster. George Bush came along as president, and today we discover that we are going to have the largest deficit since the last George Bush was president, and we are in the middle of the worst unemployment crisis since the last George Bush was president. I wonder how this is going to play out in 2004. Today is day 83 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. A little more on that later on in the program, too. Our quote for the day from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, plan for the future, because that is where you're going to spend the rest of your life. That's great. I wish I'd known that when I was younger. What was that old quote from George Bernard Shaw? If I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself, or something like that. My favorite quote from Shaw was, youth is wasted on the young. That's a good one. Anyhow, if you'd like to call the program, if you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. An interesting story in today's Wall Street Journal, and our question for this segment, for this next half hour, is the destruction of the middle class in America also destroying democracy? There are many who argue, and I think quite eloquently, quite effectively, and quite accurately, that the rise of the middle class in the United States after the Great Depression, as in large part as a result of the populist reforms that began with Teddy Roosevelt and that were put in place prior to the Great Depression, and Roosevelt's New Deal, and then the New Deal being replaced by the Fair Deal, that the rise of these changes in our tax code and in our understanding of what the role of government is in an economy and in a democratic nation led to the creation of the middle class. That we have millions and millions of Americans who are middle class only because they or their parents got the GI Bill, got interest deductions for home mortgages, things that the conservatives call welfare. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few minutes.
like you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Members of the Graphics Communications International Union and Unite came together for a joint rally outside a convention at the Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco yesterday. Inside, the world's largest commercial printer, Quebecor World, was presenting an award to Cintas, a Cincinnati-based laundry and uniform company.
Quebecor says that everybody in America touches a Quebecor product once a day. We think it's time that everybody in America hears how Quebecor is treating workers.
Jennifer Love of the AFL-CIO says that Quebecor World often refuses to bargain with its unions.
This is a great moment when one anti-union company is rewarding another. Quebecor World is sponsoring a luncheon at the annual catalog conference, which is honoring catalogs, one of which is produced by Cintas Corporation.
With its 17,000 production workers at more than 300 plants, Cintas is the largest provider of uniform rentals in the nation. And according to Leah Rothstein of Unite in Northern California, it's also among the most anti-worker.
They spend tons of money fighting unions. They hire consultants. They intimidate. They fire. They threaten their workers to stop them from unionizing.
Both unions say they'll keep up the pressure until both companies change their ways.
British resistance to a proposed European Union Charter of Labor Rights is gaining strength. The Confederation of British Industry, one of the country's largest business lobbies, says a provision in the charter requires that all temporary workers be afforded the same pay and benefits after 6 weeks on a job. Speaking for its members, who employ more than 6 million British workers, the CBI says such a right would lead to hiring freezes and job cuts, as it would take the value out of short-term employment. Last week, the British government announced it would block the implementation of an EU Bill of Labor Rights if the rights of workers to organize and strike were not deleted from the charter.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talks, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time, that's Eastern time, weekdays, for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Our chat room is alive and hopping. If you go to tomhartman.com, you can click on the link to the radio program, and then on that page, scroll down the page a bit, and you'll see the link to the chat room. And that takes you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Just click the chat button. It'll pop open the chat applet. Alexander Michael John, back in the 1920s, 1924, wrote this extraordinary book, What Does America Mean?, which is one that I highly recommend. It's really worth revisiting. People have said, you know, what are good things to read about the history of America and the perspective of people historically. And Michael John points out that democracy is a society which is carrying on an enterprise in which all of its members have a genuine share. And he points out that there's this big difference between democracy and aristocracy. That in a democracy, that he says, the striving of a democracy is always against dullness. At every point, it is favorable to sensitivity or sensitiveness. It is forever at war with stupidity. Its one overmastering ambition is the building up of intelligence, of insight, from one end of the community to the other. And he looks at the great masters of this, Jesus and Socrates, Lincoln and Gandhi, Darwin and Newton, Shakespeare and Lenin, Isaiah and Loeb. These men, it sees, are alive. I'm not sure I'd include Lenin in there, but this was written in 1924. And the purpose of democracy is that every member of the community shall, to the full measure of his capacity, share with these leaders in the enterprise which all of us have in common. Our question in this segment is the destruction of the middle class also destroying America? If any man fails, we all fail, says Michael John about democracy. Now, what about aristocracy? Aristocracy, on the other side of it, and this is one of the folks, Friendster, in our chat room, made a comment a few minutes ago. He says, get a recession job in the local zoo where the real people go to be entertained cheap. And this is exactly the point of aristocracy. As Michael John says, aristocracy reserves these experiences, the experience of being fully alive, of being, quote, stirred by beauty, excited by meaning, challenged and aroused by perplexing endeavor. Aristocracy, he said, reserves these experiences for the few. Always it divides a society into two groups, the upper few who live as if they were human beings, and the vast lower multitude who live and die like sheep. It is not for them to know what they are doing, he says, aristocrats would say, about the wards, dependents, slaves, morons, workmen, and incompetents. Interesting collection, he says. Their existence is stated in passive terms, obedience, subservience, and being provided for. Now, why am I going through this rant about this? Is the destruction of the middle class also destroying democracy? Because what I'm seeing in America right now is the destruction of the middle class. We are becoming a two-class society of the very rich and the very poor, of those who don't have to worry about their income and don't have to work, and those who desperately must work. Teddy Roosevelt, on Monday we played a clip of Teddy Roosevelt, in which he said that a living wage, he introduced the term living wage, that a living wage was enough to pay for one's retirement, to meet all of one's health care needs, to pay for the education of one's children, and to provide for housing, transportation, clothing, food, the basic necessities of life. So now we have in today's Wall Street Journal, the front page today, a story about the state of things in America. They're doing a five-part series on, it's called Left Behind, Casualties of a Changing Job Market. This is the fifth in the series. Actually, I'm not sure how many parts it is. This is the fifth in the series. The Wall Street Journal, although it is editorially, on its editorial page, is one of the most right-wing publications out there, does excellent reporting. I am continually amazed by the quality of their reporting. And this is one of them, and this is in today's Wall Street Journal. Not wanting to plug the paper, but giving credit where credit is due, I think, is important. On the morning of February 5, Robert Wood waited outside his Circuit City store with a handful of other employees, says the article New Recipe for Cost Savings Replace Expensive Workers by Carlos Tejeda and Gary McWilliams. He had reported for a quick meeting before the store opened. He's a 7-year veteran of Circuit City stores in Jensen Beach, Florida. and he sold over $1 million worth of computers and consumer electronics in the previous year. For that, he earned $54,000 in salary and bonuses. He made the President's Club for top salesmen. This is right square in the middle of what we call the middle class in America. And he figured he was going in, because they were inviting all the salespeople to go into this meeting before the store opened, one at a time. He figured he was going in to be congratulated. I mean, this guy had an impeccable record. He had sold $1 million worth of product for this company, for Circuit City. W. McCullough is the CEO of Circuit City. In 2002, he made $4,893,287 in total compensation and $3,326,640 in unexercised stock options from the previous year. That's $8 million. Now let's look at one of his employees. Robert Wood, February 5, $54,000 a year, and he's working his butt off for this. And he's waiting to go in and into this meeting where he's going to be told about the new staff model, the new staffing model. 3,900 highly paid commissioned salespeople got the axe in Circuit City. He was one of them. It's called Bloody Wednesday, February 5th. Why? Because he was earning too much money. If you'd like to be on the program, our number today is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Rama in Santa Fe, New Mexico has called. Welcome to the program, Rama.
Greetings.
Greetings.
I just wanted to say that there is something that can ultimately change these ruling classes that creates infinite wealth for everyone on this planet now. And this
okay,
is called
I'm skeptical. I said I'm skeptical. What is it?
It's called NESARA, National Economic Security and Reformation Act. It is okay. About to be announced. We are going to have a U.S. Treasury system backed by precious metals, which we have not had since before FDR.
Right. Okay, and that's going to do what?
That is also going to eliminate the IRS, reduce all mortgages to zero, zero out all credit cards.
Hang on just a second, Rama. If you put us back on the gold standard, as this country was on basically from its creation up until around the 1930, wasn't it, 1931? I thought the United States went off the gold standard under Roosevelt and then went off the... Or was it Nixon who pulled us off? In any case...
It was Roosevelt, and they took all the gold.
Right, he called the gold in.
They came to the people's houses with guns and said, give me your gold.
Yeah, it was a federal law that you had to turn in your gold. So if we go back on the gold standard, how... You know, I agree that will stabilize our currency. Whether it'll stabilize it in a useful way is probably arguable, because in order for the country to grow, our gold reserves would have to grow. Which
there is more to the story that is being told. There are infinite amounts of gold that are being held at this time by the Illuminati, and it is about to be released from their hands.
Okay, Rama, if it's infinite, then our currency will become worthless.
Say that again?
If there's infinite amounts of gold that are being held, our currency will become instantly worthless if it's gold denominated.
Well, I would say that what we have to do is, right now, our money is backed by empty air and empty promises, nothing
no,
else.
No, our money is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government.
And that
thing.
Credit is zilch.
Well, no, actually, the rest of the world is backing us up at the moment. Now, one of the things that could have really been a disaster for us was when Saddam Hussein changed from the dollar to the euro for the price of oil. One of the main things that's keeping the dollar afloat is the fact that OPEC is denominating oil in dollars. And if they were to switch over to euros, we would have a disaster that is unimaginable in the United States.
Well, financial disaster. I will just tell you, the euro is backed by precious metals. NASARA is a secret law that was passed in March.
The euro
9th.
Is not backed by gold, Rama. The euro is backed. The euro is not backed by gold. It's backed by a central bank in Europe that is the same as the Fed in the United States, by a private bank.
It is backed by gold. They announced it on January 1st on Fox News. Shepard Smith announced it. So did Bloomberg TV.
Yeah, if it was on Fox News, it has no credibility for me. But Rama, thank you for.
Of course not.
Yeah, Rama, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate your calling in and interesting information. It's something that I think is worth perhaps a little more discussion. It's been really interesting to watch the price of gold over the last year or so. It's gone from around $280 to $360 right now. What that means is not that the price of gold is going up, but that the value of the U.S. dollar is going down, and that's having consequences here as well. But back to the destruction of the middle class, and is it destroying democracy? Reagan, well, back to, let me just wrap this thing up with Circuit City. Circuit City basically laid off, well, not basically, they laid off 3,900 people on one day, Bloody Wednesday, February 5th of this year. And then they hired 2,100 lower paid workers to replace them, about 20% of their sales force. And this is a process of swapping expensive labor with lower paid workers, to quote the Wall Street Journal. And they point out that this is done in those industries where, quote, they have jobs that can't easily be automated or shipped overseas, end quote. So we have a situation where, as a result of NAFTA, GATT, WTO, and these multilateral agreements that place corporations at a par with nation states, the corporations have been able to go in and say, okay, cool, we don't respect international boundaries. Our labor doesn't need to. Now, humans are still stuck. Humans can't move from country to country. If I wanted to move to Canada tomorrow, I'd have to jump through a lot of hoops. When I moved to Germany, it took months to get all the paperwork together to get a working visa to live there for 1 year. If a corporation, on the other hand, wants to move to Mexico or to Taiwan or China or whatever, they can do it tomorrow morning. It takes, an hour. And so what has happened is that because of this liberalization, to use a word in kind of a funny way, of these trade policies, all these corporations are moving manufacturing jobs overseas. Now, in the New York Times last weekend, there was a whole thing about moving information jobs overseas. The last time I was in India, Microsoft was down in Madras hiring software engineers. They were requiring a master's degree, and as I recall, and I may be off on the numbers on this, they were starting pay at $10,000 a year, which is huge money in India. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Peter from Midland, Michigan. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, welcome. What's up?
Yeah, I'm listening to you on the internet, and I don't know if I'm like completely with the exact program that you're at. But the caller that I just listened to was talking about something called NASARA, which is purportedly something secretly passed by the Congress and is going to solve all our problems and bring forth some new order or something. And this is just an absolutely worthless a hoax that's circulating on the internet, and you get people talking about it very long, and the next thing they start talking about is the flying saucer people. And
it's
please, let's not waste too much time on that one.
Yeah, good point. Thank you. My producer was waving to me to the same effect. I appreciate your feedback, Peter. Thank you for that call, and also Louise. On the other hand, I think that it's important sometimes to talk about things that are floating around the internet that everybody's paying attention to, if for no other reason than to point out the inherent flaws in the logic of them. Anytime anybody comes along and says, hey, we've got the thing that's going to solve all your problems, I get worried. George Soros wrote an excellent, I'm not sure if it's a transcript of a speech or an article that he wrote. I saw it on Alternet yesterday, and in which he said that one of the big problems that you see is when any ideology, any group of ideologues or ideologues comes along and says, we have the solution. this is the way to live, this will solve all problems, then you know you should turn and run. And he suggested that the Bush administration has this blind, slavish devotion to the idea that if you just turn everything over to corporations, everything will be well. This guy's a billionaire, and he says this is a horrible mistake, and it will destroy democracy. And I'm with him. I think that it's a very big problem. And so what we're seeing now is that these corporations have moved over to India now for their information services. They've moved their labor into China. And the corporations that are stuck having employees in the United States, poor folks, are laying off highly paid employees and replacing them with more less well-paid employees. And they're using pretty much any premise they can. U.S. Air, for example, in this article in the Wall Street Journal, laid off ticket agents and replaced them. Well, they had a neat little trick to do it. I'll tell you about it when we come back from the break. You're with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
This week on E! He may be a one-woman man, but he still spends like a bachelor. It's good to be Ben Affleck. Plus, it's the in-your-face world of the paparazzi. Celebrities Uncensored.
Get the camera out of my face!
And if you thought the show was hot and heavy, wait till you see what went on when the cameras went off. The E! True Hollywood Story of Melrose Place. It's all new, all true, every night this week on E!
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. How is it that this can be happening? How are they pulling this off? Well, one of the ways that they're pulling it off is by fooling people about who they are and where they are in terms of income. It's really interesting. There was a big PR campaign that was run during the 2000 election when Bush was first proposing his tax cuts. And there was this our question for this hour is the destruction of the middle class also destroying American democracy. And there was this notion that these tax cuts, which were going to go to people in, you know, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, and so on, they were going to do largely for the top 20%, the top quintile. And so the question became, okay, who's in the top 20%? And according to the Center on Budget Priorities or on the U.S. Census Bureau, the top 20% was people earning an average of $117,500. And this was published in USA Today. It was all over the place. Well, it turns out that the Census Bureau, up until 1994, had an upper reportable limit, quote, unquote, of $300,000, which means if you earned over $300,000, your income was determined by the Census Bureau to be at $300,000. So prior to 1994, Bill Gates' income was reported as $300,000. So was Michael Eisner with his $565 million package. $300,000. Now, in 1994, the Bureau, the Census Bureau, lifted that upper reportable limit to $1 million. So now, anybody who makes over $1 million is reported as making only $1 million. Thus, they come up with this number that the top 20% is $117,500. If you look at IRS statistics, though, you see that the beginning of the upper 20% is around $300,000 a year, and the top 5% are people who are earning over $30 million a year. So people, number one, think that they're in the top income in the United States, and they're not even close. Number two, we've got this. The destruction of unions in the United States that has largely led to this. The Wall Street Journal says, for example, and this is the kicker, quote, there's nothing illegal about getting rid of expensive workers and hiring less costly employees in their place. Well, there's nothing illegal about it in a non-unionized environment. And I would suggest that it's unions that have created and built the middle class in America from the 30s until today. And without them, we're going to be in big trouble. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
From those bands, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a feel that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. The Palestinian group Hamas has claimed responsibility for a suicide bombing on a Jerusalem bus that has claimed at least 16 lives and injured dozens of others. The White House said President Bush condemned the bombing in Jerusalem in the strongest possible terms. It appears Israel is already striking back. Witnesses say Israeli helicopters have fired missiles at targets in the Gaza Strip, and one missile turned a car into a mound of smoking rubble. The explosion in Jerusalem today follows yesterday's attacks by Israel on Palestinian targets in the Gaza Strip area. Republican lawmakers vow to thoroughly evaluate the accuracy of pre-war intelligence about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Florida's Porter Goss, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, cited a feeding frenzy over the growing WMD controversy.
And I don't know how that feeding frenzy started or what generated it. There is a very legitimate question out there. Where are the weapons of mass destruction? We all want to know. It's a matter of great concern to us who are worried about our national security. Do they still exist? Are they in the hands of people who would do mischief with them? How portable are they?
No WMDs have been located in the roughly 2 months since the end of major combat in Iraq. President Bush cited an imminent threat of WMDs as justification for the U.S.-led war against Iraq. Earlier this week, West Virginia Democratic Senator Jay Rockefeller, a supporter of the war, said the Bush administration's credibility could be in jeopardy over the WMD controversy. President Bush was talking about Medicare reform today as he addressed the Illinois State Medical Society in Chicago. Bush has pledged support for a plan that would use a drug benefit to bring senior citizens into private managed care plans. A record $25.7 million will be paid out to victims of alleged sexual abuse by the Roman Catholic Archdiocese in Louisville, Kentucky. Accusations of abuse by priests, religious brothers, and employees of the archdiocese span nearly half a century. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 32 points, NASDAQ down 2 points, and the S&P up 5 points.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. Expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Students, adults, and two other minors who were part of a violent high school hazing incident will face a preliminary hearing in Cook County, Illinois today. The incident took place during a girls' Powder Puff football game, and that was caught on videotape. 15 students are charged with misdemeanor battery, while two of the students' parents will face alcohol-related charges. There's been improvement in the well-being of children nationwide, according to the 14th annual Kids Count Data book. However, the new report shows that many working parents face barriers that jeopardize the financial progress of their families and the ongoing improvement of their children.
Honey, why are you wallpapering? Hmm? I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
California investigators are working to determine whether remains found in Davis, California, could be those of Lacey Peterson. Davis is about 74 miles from Modesto and about 85 miles from San Francisco. The remains were located next to a dumpster. Officials say the remains of Lacey Peterson found previously were missing some of the same parts as those found in Davis. The King of Pop is heading back to his hometown for the first time in decades today. Michael Jackson is set to receive the key to the city of Gary, Indiana today during a ceremony at City Hall. Jackson is also set to tour a high school and visit his boyhood home. Jackson is in Indiana for a deposition on a lawsuit brought against him by a former Gary band who accuses the Jacksons of stealing two of their songs. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Your car spark plugs are like an infantry. They work hard and fire a lot. How many times do spark plugs fire? And what can you do to keep them in shape? When we come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
When your odometer clicks 10,000 miles, your spark plugs have fired 15 million times, transmitting enough electricity to power home appliances for 15 months. This high voltage current, heat, and chemical erosion eat away the firing gap, widening it so much that plugs can't make their spark, resulting in wasted gas, lost power, and polluted air, if you can get your car started at all. So have your hard-working spark plugs replaced for most cars every 30,000 miles. Replacing marginal or misfiring plugs will save you heartburn and money. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome back to our program. This is on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from outer space on the Sirius Radio Satellite, Channel 145, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners all across the world at radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com. Talk radio for the rest of us. And we're having a little bit of a technical problem. If my voice sounds a little bit less than normal, my apologies, but I'm sure you can understand what we're talking about here. And if you'd like to be on today's program, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. Our question for this hour, can the world trust America about terrorism, given the recent events, given that this is day 83 of the search for weapons of mass? Is it destruction or deception? We'll find out. Hans Blix weighed in. Hans Blix, I believe, is Norwegian. Interestingly, in today's Norwegian Post, in the Aftenposten, one of the Norwegian newspapers, the Aftenposten, they say USA lied about Iraq's weapons, the headline. And Jørgen Sternholm, of the Norwegian government says this is a slap in the face to the United Nations weapons inspectors, one of whom is Norway's own Hans Blix. And in the Dagbladet newspaper, Sijenholm says, quote, much of what Colin Powell said was wrong. It does not match up at all with our information. Now, this is a sovereign nation that has its own intelligence service. He says the entire speech was misleading. Asked if Americans lied, Sijenholm says, quote, lie is a strong word, but yes, the information Powell presented about Iraq's nuclear program was simply incorrect, end of quote. He says, I strongly doubt that America will find anything at all. In any case, I doubt they will find WMDs that constitute a military threat. And he says his thoughts are now with the Iraqi people he met and who cooperated with the inspectors. He says, it's a weary country with many weary people. The people want peace. Hans Blix was in the news. This is a guy who is just incredibly diplomatic. I mean, you know, Blix is a professional diplomat and very well spoken, very carefully spoken. Doesn't get into fights. Was very careful during the whole thing to speak exactly what he meant and not shade things with nuance or try to imply things that might be or might not be. And yesterday he was interviewed by one of the British newspapers, The Guardian, and he said, quote, I have my detractors in Washington. There are bastards who spread things around, of course, who planted nasty things in the media. And then when they asked him if it was a deliberate smear campaign against him, he said yes. He said that Washington, quote, leaned on, end quote, his inspectors to produce more damning language in their reports. One of our listeners yesterday contacted me and wanted to know if the phrase, when Clinton lied, nobody died, it was available as a bumper sticker anywhere. We did a web search, and we couldn't find it anywhere. I'm assuming that probably Democrats.com or one of these other websites that sells bumper stickers will probably be coming up with it. CommonDreams.org, who knows? But, yeah, when Clinton lied, nobody died. Well, who has died as the result of what appears to be lies either out of the American Intelligence Service or this American administration? By the way, I want to take this off just on a little bit of a tangent here. This is so important to make this clear and unambiguous distinction. I was listening to the radio on Sunday. We were driving down to my brother-in-law's house, and whatever the local station was, they had CNN Radio News at the top of the hour. And the newscaster was talking about this thing about the weapons of mass destruction not being found. And he goes through, you know, quack, 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 they haven't found these things. And then he says something to the effect of, opponents of the United States government will probably continue to raise this issue. And he was speaking of the Democrats in Congress who are suggesting or raising the question or the concern about the nature of our intelligence, or what did the president know and when did he know it? And he said, this reporter on CNN News, and I heard something very similar to this last night on CNN, again, he said, opponents of this government, this administration, the Bush administration, is no more the government of the United States than was the Clinton administration. The government of the United States is something that has stood independent of the people who are in it for over 225 years. The government of the United States is its own entity, its own. It is us. We are the government of the United States. This is a democracy still. Hopefully it will continue to be. And it's a democracy of, by, and for we the people. And it just makes me crazy when I hear this nutty reporting where, and this certainly this is a holdover from the Fox pseudo news quote reporting end quote of the Gulf War, of the Iraqi War, where anytime anybody disagreed with the administration, they were portrayed as anti-government. It is a completely different thing to be opposed to a government than it is to be opposed to the temporary administration in the government in a democracy. Now, if we're talking about Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe, yeah, he is the government. If we were talking about Saddam Hussein's Iraq, he is the government. Adolf Hitler's Germany, he is the government, or was the government. But in the United States, the government is independent of whoever happens to be president. That person is just the president, and his administration is just the administration. We also have a legislative branch of government. We also have a judicial branch of government, and the government itself does not change. Only the administration and the elected officials in office do. So, anyway, back from that rant here. Pardon the digression, but it's so important that we become sensitive to the nuance of language in this new Orwellian doublespeak era. As Newt Gingrich pointed out, words have meaning, which is one of the reasons why the Democratic Party, founded by Thomas Jefferson, originally called the Democratic Republicans, which is why on the WhiteHouse.gov website now, the Bush administration has identified Thomas Jefferson as a Republican, of all things. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? This is incredible. There were two parties that emerged to fight the Federalists when John Adams was passing his law, the Alien and Sedition Acts, to throw into prison the people who spoke out against him. See, he thought he was the government. Jefferson knew that the president isn't the government. The president is merely the administration. And two parties emerged to fight Adams and the Federalists. One was the Democrats, the other was the Republicans. And about a year before Jefferson came into office, he pulled these two groups together in 1799 into the Democratic Republicans. And then the Federalists fell apart because everybody in America was so horrified by John Adams and his prosecution of the Alien and Sedition Acts and putting people in jail for simply speaking out against him, that his Federalist Party just disintegrated after Jefferson's presidency. And it was replaced by a group calling themselves the National Republicans. So you had the Democratic Republicans of Jefferson, and you had the National Republicans of, I'd have to go back and look at a list of who was president, but it was in the 1830s, 1820s. So Jefferson, now it was the heirs of Jefferson's party, they stopped calling themselves the Democratic Republicans because the National Republicans had emerged and just simply started calling themselves the Democratic Party or the Democrats. And the National Republicans self-destructed. They wanted to go back to John Adams' variation of fascism, and they were reinvented by the Whigs, who respected the imperial governance of England. And then they self-destructed and were, with Abraham Lincoln just before Lincoln, reinvented as what we call the Republicans today. So anyway, so Newt wanted to change Democratic. It was called the Democratic Party because it was the Democratic Republicans. Democratic is the name. He said, no, we shouldn't call them that. It sounds like an adverb. It sounds like a description. And we should simply call them the Democrat Party and a Democrat senator, not a Democratic senator. And so whenever you hear somebody say the Democrat senator, you know that they are somebody who is dancing to Newt Gingrich's tune. Start noticing. You'd be amazed where you'll hear this stuff. Anyhow, who died in Iraq? When Clinton died, nobody lied. When this administration or its intelligence service lied, I think we can safely say, even if here on day 83 weapons of mass destruction are found, that they will not be found in a way that would have posed the kind of threat to the United States and England where, as Tony Blair said, within 45 minutes they could strike the shores of England. or as George Bush said, an immediate and imminent danger to the United States. It's clear that's extremely unlikely. Well, the AP did a tally, the Associated Press. They visited 60 of Iraq's 124 hospitals, so this is sort of an incomplete number. But they found that 3,240 civilians died across Iraq that they can verify, where they can actually count the people and their names, and they can verify that these people were civilians and not military. 1,896 in Baghdad. And, of course, this is only half of Iraq's hospitals. They say many of the dead were never taken to hospitals, were either buried quickly by their families in accordance with Islamic custom, or lost under rubble. So they say thousands more were uncounted. 3,240, just about the same number as the folks who died in the World Trade Center. Incredible. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Let's say you're a salesperson who's been slacking off. Your sales are down by a third this year. You've brought in 15% less profit for your company. Now, let's say that you go to the boss and demand a 150% pay hike. How long do you think it would take your boss to stop laughing and then fire you for being both a slacker and a silly person? But you're not David F. D'Alessandro. He's no ordinary employee of the John Hancock Corporation. He's the CEO. And as we know, the rules are different for those at the top. So yes, while he had a bad year in 2002, with John Hancock's stock prices plummeting by a third and its profits dropping 15%, Dave still got a pay hike of more than 150%, jumping his take-home to nearly $22 million. That's a good 2.5 times the CEO pay of such competitors as MetLife and Prudential, where his peers had to make do on about $8 million each. D'Alessandro, who apparently is fueled by the fumes of his own ego, dismisses all criticism about his outlandish pay for poor performance. "I don't determine how much I make," he says, asserting that the board of directors determines that. Do we look like a bunch of all-day suckers? Come on, Dave. Corporate boards are notorious brother-in-law deals, made up of golfing buddies and other CEOs who are part of the orchestrated bunny hop, happily raising each other's pay. But the John Hancock board member who okayed D'Alessandro's bonanza claims that it was necessary because other corporations might lure Dave away, adding that he's a real major league talent. But I wonder, how much demand is there in corporate world for an overpaid CEO who drove his company into the financial ditch? This is Jim Hightower saying, CEOs continue to fatten their own wallets while shareholders and employees are knocked down. That's not good management. It's incompetence, and it's shameful greed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. Welcome back. 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number. That's 1-800-825-5937 if you'd like to be on the program. At least 3,240 civilians died across Iraq during 1 month of war, and that number may actually be half the real number, and apparently well over 10,000 non-civilians died. Now, interestingly, the Pentagon was asked how many civilians died. The reason why the AP had to actually send reporters over to Iraq, and they visited visited 60 of Iraq's 124 hospitals. And of course, on the American side, just under 200 of our troops have died. And we lost another one yesterday. It amazes me that we're not... I mean, you know, the sniper in Washington, D.C. picks off people every second or third day, and it's like screaming headlines all the time. We are, an American citizen is being killed every single day in Iraq. Where is the outrage about this? Where is the concern? It's like the administration does not want to talk about these things in their news conferences. They learned from Jimmy Carter that when he paid attention to American hostages in Iran, it cost him his presidency. Don't pay attention to those problems over there. So they went to the Pentagon and they said, well, how many civilians did we kill during the bombing? And the Pentagon says, and now get this, this is extraordinary. Quote, we never target civilians and have no reason to try to count such unintended deaths. This line is apparently stuttering. We're going to change lines here for just hang on just a second. Okay.
I am. On the telephone. And so the Pentagon says we don't target civilians, so we have no reason to try to count such unintended deaths. The Comrex, I'm going to drop it and dial it back, by the way, guys. The British Defense Ministry says it didn't count casualties either. It's like... Catch 22. I mean, you know, no, we don't intentionally kill civilians, so therefore we're not going to count the ones we killed. It's like they don't exist. So the AP goes over and they track this down themselves. So now in the wake of this, and this is my big concern about this stuff, is what kind of damage has been done to America and our foreign policy. We're gonna hear a clip from John Kennedy right after the bottom of the hour on this. His notion of what the world, how the world should view America, who we are, and what we really should be all about. But now we are going in and we're saying, Iran, today in Reuters, Iran nuke experts visited North Korea this year. Iranian experts on nuclear issues secretly visited North Korea this year. Now, interestingly, this report doesn't come from a government source. doesn't come from an intelligence service. It comes from an extreme right-wing newspaper. Now, there are the Sankai Shimbun. Now, there are newspapers in Japan. I've spent a fair amount of time in Japan. My daughter and I took a Japanese language class once many years ago. And I don't pretend to speak Japanese, but have a little bit of it. And did that just come over? And the right-wing newspapers there are truly rabid. I mean, they are like, you know, they talk about the Jewish conspiracy to take over the world and all this kind of just absolutely right-wing wacko stuff. This was the source of this story, that Iran and North Korea are talking. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Dogs appear to have a unique ability to read cues in human behavior. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. A researcher at Harvard University has shown that dogs have a sense about people that sets them apart from other animals. He says dogs can read simple cues in human behavior, and it appears to be a talent they're born with. Brian Hare is an anthropology student at Harvard. He ran a series of experiments to compare how well dogs, chimpanzees, and wolves can read simple signals from people. Hare concealed bits of food under a cup and put it near an identical cup that was empty. Then he let each animal choose which cup to knock over to find the treat. Hare ran the test with 11 dogs, 11 chimps, and 7 wolves. Before each animal made its choice, one of his co-workers tried to show which cup covered the food by either pointing at it or staring at it. Hare says the results were surprising. Almost all of the dogs picked the cup with the food based on a point or a stare, but very few of the chimps and none of the wolves showed the same ability. Hare says the fact that wolves could not interpret the signals means dogs must have developed this talent after they evolved from their wild cousins. Hare wanted to know whether dogs are born with an ability to read human actions or if they learn it through interaction with people. To find out, he gave the point and stare test to 2 groups of puppies. One had been raised with regular human contact, the other with very little.
That was the most surprising result. Essentially, if we looked at dogs who were not reared in a human family and compared them to dogs that were reared in a human family, they performed equally well. There was no difference. So it didn't seem like it was necessary to have experienced lots of human contact to do well in these tasks.
Hare says his research is part of an effort to understand how all animals, including humans, developed their abilities to think, communicate, and solve problems. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
the IE America Radio Network. We're a lively conversation in our chat room. If you go to TomHartmann.com and click on the radio program link, and then click on the chat room link, which is about halfway down the page. There's also a link in the upper left-hand side of the page. You can get there. And one of the folks, Putnik1915, says, when I said when Bush lied, no one died, that that was not true. And then he points out the situation in Kosovo. Rape camps a lie, genocide a lie, planned ethnic cleansing a lie. That's, you know, I don't know about that. I was referring, I mean, I don't know the details of that. I've read a couple of these pieces on the Internet, and it seems like there's, you know, some credible stuff on both sides of that argument, that debate. But what I do know is that when Clinton was impeached for lying about consensual sex between two consenting adults, that no one died. And if that is an impeachable offense, I wonder if you think, and I'd be real interested to hear your thoughts on this. You can email me, Tom at TomHartmann.com. You can post a message in the chat room. You can post a message on our message board. Or you can call the show today at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Is George Bush in trouble here? Is this, if it turns out, that he lied to the American people and to the world about the reason for going into Iraq, and it turns out that our intervention in Iraq has made hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, for Dick Cheney's former company, Halliburton, which is still paying Dick Cheney, by the way, and for Donald Rumsfeld's clients. Donald Rumsfeld was a lobbyist for the defense industry before he became Secretary of Defense. And for George Bush's father's company, the Carlyle Group, one of the largest investment groups in weapons manufacturing companies in the world, it turns out that he lied and that he and a whole bunch of his friends made millions as a result of it. And well over 10,000 people died. Over 3,000 Iraqi civilians, over 200 American soldiers, thousands, at least 10,000 Iraqi troops died as a result of that lie. More people than they have dug out of the mass graves that were the result of George Bush Sr. encouraging the uprising of the Shia in the South back in 1991 and then refusing to go to their defense when Saddam came in and slaughtered them when they tried to rise up against his government. If George Bush lied about this, is he at risk? Is America at risk? Could he be impeached? I'm curious what you think. 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. Could this be the event, or maybe not? And what's next? Reuters, Iran nuke experts visited North Korea this year. Now, based on a right-wing Japanese newspaper, the Sankai Shimbun, quote, the Korean Peninsula source, end quote, said that North Korea is having conversations with Iran and may have already received funds from Iran that may have to do with conversations about nuclear weapons. Now, if this is correct, what kind of future is that going to... Or is this part of some orchestrated PR campaign? I mean, this is how it always seems to start. You get these strange little reports from right-wing sources, and they come out with this report and that report, and Saddam has anthrax. No, he's got VX gas. No, he's got... Iran has nuclear weapons. Well, no, they don't, but maybe they do. But they're talking to North Korea about it. North Korea has nuclear weapons. Well, no, they don't, but they're trying to get them. Well, you know, maybe, you know, it may... I mean, North Korea is having a terrible problem. It may be that they're just claiming that they want to have them because they don't want us to attack them. They're afraid that we'll do to them what we did to Iraq. And, you know, unfortunately, the truth is that it might actually be better for the North Korean people, but does that justify intervention? You could say it would be better for the people of Mugabe, Zimbabwe, also,
if the United States went in, knocked him out of power, and took over the country. It would be better for the people of the Congo right now. It would be better for the people of Burma right now. But historically, that has never been the reason why the United States has intervened. I have this great clip of JFK. I'll have to play it tomorrow because we've lost our connection to the studio with the high quality line, and the one I can feed audio over, where he says the United States will never initiate a war. We are not a warlike people. So Donald Rumsfeld was in Germany day before yesterday. And he heard about this report from this right-wing newspaper in Japan. And somebody asked him about it because it got wide play. And he says, the intelligence community in the United States and around the world currently assess that Iran does not have nuclear weapons. However, the assessment is that they do have a very active program and are likely to have nuclear weapons in a relatively short period of time. He went on, according to Reuters just 2 hours ago, to say that Iran is violating the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the very treaty that we are violating, or we are contemplating violating. Bush has sent a request to be able to build 5-kiloton bombs. Keep in mind, the Hiroshima bomb was a 10-kiloton bomb. But these 5-kiloton bombs are going to be called tactical battlefield weapons, which will blow us out of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The efforts by Iran, Rumsfeld says, to try to make Iraq become a model of Iran with a small group of clerics taking over the country and controlling it, we're not going to let that happen, he said. Now, this raises a really good question. In Iran, they actually have elections. And people who oppose the clerics actually could run, and they actually won. Now, they've got a kind of a cobbled-together system of government where the clerics are performing the function of the Supreme Court in the United States. They basically get to strike down laws if they don't like them. And this is a real problem for the democracy-minded reformers in Iran. But the government of Iran right now has been slowly moving toward reform. But the question is, in Iraq, if the people want an Islamic Republic, should we allow them to have it? Is that democracy? Our question, can the world trust America about terrorism? If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Tony in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. One, is there some kind of prohibition for any Arab country on the axis of evil list to have or develop or even intimate or to have, the intimation of developing nuclear weapons? And also, it seems to me, I guess it's a comment, that every time that the ill winds point out to the resident, something like this comes up to distract us.
You mean every time George Bush is in a little political trouble?
Yes.
Then all of a sudden we go to war.
Right. You know, it's a new evil at the so-called proverbial American family's front that we have to confront.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's like you said, it's spin and propaganda. So I'll just take my your thoughts off the air. Thank you
great.
So much.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that call. My understanding is that the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and other nuclear arms agreements are, by and large, mediated by the United Nations. And we're kind of talking out of two sides of our mouth here. We're saying we don't need no stinking UN. And, by the way, all these other countries better abide by the agreements. Now, on that said, there's a very real concern about countries developing nuclear weapons. You know, look at, you know, Pakistan now has the bomb. And this is a very unstable government run by a relatively unpopular military dictator whose easternmost province that borders Afghanistan just turned into an Islamic Republic. And, you know, Israel has the bomb. India has the bomb. I mean, it's a, So this is an issue. The number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Mike in Madison, Madison, Alabama, is on the line. Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. I just
found you on the Internet the other day.
Cool. Great.
Yeah, it matters quite a bit that he lied. But I don't think anything will happen of it.
I missed your last half of that.
It matters very much that Bush lied about the weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
He lies all the time. Nothing's going to come of it.
You don't think that there will be any consequence for him about this?
No. I work in a military industry, and people all around me are just fine with it. Oh, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, we kick their butts. That's all that counts.
Yeah. One down, two to go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It scares me.
I hope we have not come to a place in American history where keeping in mind it has not been demonstrated that George Bush has lied, but if it is demonstrated that he did, that we're just going to shrug our shoulders. But Mike, thanks for calling. Thanks for dropping by our radio home. I appreciate your call very much. If Bush lied, what does that mean? Can the world trust America about terrorism? And these other things, I mean, I've got some information here. I don't know if we'll have time to get to it, so I want to just mention it. Today, Sam Wexel, or yesterday, was convicted and sent to prison for 7.5 years for insider trading. Martha Stewart has been arrested for $50,000 in profits. Nobody's talking about the fact that back in 91, George Bush made an $850,000 sale of his stock just the day before his corporation, Harkin Energy, announced a huge $23 million loss, which caused their stock to tank. And the SEC, which was run by George Bush's former attorney under his father, chose not to investigate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, if you'd like to be on the program. Linda in Cupertino has called in. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Linda.
Hi, Tom. I'm telling all my friends to listen and to call in to your show.
Thank you.
And I agree with you that I actually believe that the war in Iraq was created to make profits for Bush's donors.
Yeah, well, it's certainly doing that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no other reason for the war, and the evidence for the war is slim to none. And, you know, I really think that this is the mother of all wag the dog wars that I have ever heard of or seen in my lifetime. This war was created simply to distract us from the 911 investigation, which is going nowhere thanks to the Bush regime.
That's right. That is still classified. Even the early preliminary results on that thing that Bob Graham and other congressmen have seen and said, hey, this is no big deal. We should declassify this. The Bush administration is still keeping that classified so that you and I can't know what happened on 9/11.
Oh, that's astonishing, and what's more astonishing is the media here in the U.S. is not interested in breaking through that wall of silence and demanding answers and doing their own investigation. I think the media could do that.
Well, do you think the fact that NBC is owned by General Electric, which is a maker of nuclear weapons, has anything to
no.
do with it?
No. Oh, it couldn't have anything to do with
it. Fox News is headed up by Roger Ailes, who was Reagan's campaign manager. You think that might have anything to do with it?
I think it has a lot to do with it. And I also think, though, that while Americans may have liked that the war in Iraq went quickly and was such a, quote, success, unquote, they do not like the cost of the war. And everywhere I go here in Northern California, I hear people complaining about how teachers are being laid off, but we're spending all this money on Iraq.
Right.
I think that's going to be a big campaign issue. I think that baby boomers and seniors and, people with children are going to be very concerned that this money, that their money is going to be flowing outside of our country to Iraq.
Yeah.
And,
well, it already is.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a big issue in the campaign, I do believe.
Yeah, and it's not just flowing out of the United States to Iraq. It's flowing out of the United States into United States corporations who are then spending it in Iraq, but keeping a good chunk off the top. I mean, these contracts, these no-bid contracts like Halliburton got, have built into them a provision that guarantees the profitability of the corporation. Now, I've started 7 companies in my life, and I have never, ever had somebody come to me and say, here, I'll guarantee your profitability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is nuts.
It's a scandal, and our media is just so compromised, they don't know how to stand up on their 2 feet anymore like men and, stand up to this this infamy that we're having perpetrated upon us right now. That's why media like you are so important, Tom. Thanks for being there.
Well, thank you. Linda, I have one quick question for you. We've got about 45 seconds left here, and I'm just wondering if the people of Iraq want to have a Muslim government, an Islamic government, as much as we may dislike the way the Taliban ran Afghanistan, should they be allowed to? Are we actually going to give them democracy and let them vote on it?
I don't think that we want them to have an Iran-type government, but I think that they have every right to have it. And if they do not have that right to have it, they are going to be very, very angry, and it's going to backfire. There will be a lot of backlash against the U.S.
Yeah, this is going to be the dog that bites the people who tread a wag
yes.
its tail.
Yes.
Linda, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle here on the Tom Hartman Program. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes with a wrap-up, a couple of other pieces from the headlines today, and more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad's... I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him...
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you? Or Advil. Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a biweekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just get to love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. And welcome back to the program here. Matt from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Wants to talk about the issues of the day. Well, Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have to say that my solitaire on the computer has never been as exciting as since I found your program.
Well, thank you.
What I would like to address is that I don't think that the potential impeachment should be as large of an issue as the potential backlash we get in the international community. The impeachment really isn't going to serve as big of a purpose as we all would like it to get this idiot out of office. But what we should be very interested in and very concerned with is that we've opened the door for countries that feel threatened by us to pose a preemptive attack on us.
Like the former Soviet Union, now Russia and several of their satellite countries that are still sitting on thousands of nuclear weapons on top of ICBMs.
Exactly. And as we pose to develop our own nuclear weapons again and reestablish our programs, are they going to feel threatened by us and therefore want to attack us much like we did in Iraq? And I don't think that the focus should be as large on, you know, what President Bush did as how now are we going to get ourselves out of this mess.
Well, don't you think, Matt, that one component of America recovering her credibility would be to do some house cleaning?
It definitely would be.
And so how would that go about?
I would like to think that an impeachment would do that, but I think that the GOP is way too powerful, and I don't think that we could be as effective at that as to really deciding on how we're going to deal with this new backlash. I mean, it's something that Tom Ridge is probably just rubbing his hands at, thinking, great, now I get to raise the terror alert whenever I want to again, and I'll and he'll do that. So
this was, it seems in the past that every time he's raised the terror alert, it has been just before large anti-war demonstrations, including the last one, the Memorial Day.
Sure.
Every time that there were going to be large demonstrations, they raised the terror alert, and suddenly people found it very, very difficult to demonstrate. Very interesting. Matt, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening and for being on the program today. In order for any kind of healing to happen, whether it's psychological, medical, or political, we have to have hope. I have great hope for this country. We are a self-healing organism. That's the wonder of democracy. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.